I'm sorry to have to tell you, friends, that due to present weather conditions, Mr. Rosier is unable to be with us today, but we hope to have a minister this evening. May we now commence with hymn 103. Oh, that the Lord would guide my ways to keep his statutes still. Oh, that my God would grant me grace to know and do his will. 103. The Epistle of Paul to the Philippians, chapter 3. Philippians, chapter 3. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he has whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an ensample. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Amen. May the Lord help Dave in prayer.
O Lord, do grant us a right view of the one to whom we deserve now to approach, the high and holy one that inhabiteth eternity and who cannot look upon sin, not for one moment with the least degree of an ounce. Lord, we have to come before thee now, bow our heads, and confess our sins, our departings from thee and thy ways. And Lord, how we are so corrupt and defiled within that we often have to cry out, can ever God dwell here? And Lord, may we look now to the one who has made a way into the holiest through the blood of the cross, even our dear Lord Jesus, and say, all my hope is there. If ever my poor soul be saved, 'tis Christ must be the way. Lord, do enable us to cling by faith to thee as our hope of eternal life, the one who has made a way for poor sinners to enter heaven. Lord, we pray for the new heart and the new spirit to be given us. Those things that we've been singing in our opening hymn, that we might keep thy statutes still, that we might be found among those who walk in thy footsteps, who are purged from our iniquity through that precious blood shed at Calvary. O Lord, we pray for the Holy Spirit to come and touch our hearts and to grant his witness that thou didst die for us. Lord, draw near to us, we pray, for we have no power to come to thee. We cannot so much as lift up our eyes unto heaven, but only cry for mercy, 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 for Jesus' sake. Lord, we come to the season of the year when we remember that the dear Lord Jesus took human flesh and became a little babe. He left the holy courts of heaven and descended to this sinful world that he might be made sin for us. Lord, was it for us? Oh, to know that we are born again of the Holy Ghost and that all things are ours through Christ Jesus. Open our eyes, Lord. Do draw near. How many souls have come up this day groaning on account of a body of sin and death and longing to be set free, longing to be healed of the plague that so permeates their whole being. Lord, have mercy upon each one. Thou seest the circumstances, it is known unto thee from eternity, that thy servant should not be able to come amongst us this morning. But oh, we do pray that these new arrangements may be according to thy holy will and thy sovereign purposes to bless souls. Lord, can we bear the piercing thought, what if my name should be left out? So we pray, Lord, for the power of the Holy Ghost to be present in the church, to bless the reading of thy holy word, to come through the hymns if it might please thee, and that the word preached before may have new life and power given from above, that it may not be the words of a man, but the word of the Lord to our never dying souls. Lord, we do pray, touch hearts, do bless, do grant that melting in humility before thee, and may some be enabled to say, why me, why me, why such a wretch as me, who must forever lie in hell, were not salvation free. Lord, we look back over the year and remember thy goodness hitherto, that thou hast been present. At times in our services thou hast done good in souls, and we would bless thee for it. But Lord, it comes to this, it's my soul. What if my soul has known nothing of these things? Lord, do not pass us by. Do not leave one soul out of the secret. Lord, do appear, shine within, draw our affections from afar, set them on things above, and grant that each one here, if it might be thy holy good pleasure, might have the witness in their hearts that they are born of God, and that the dear Son of God came down to earth and was made a man. He took human flesh of his own accord, that he might die in the sinner's place. Now, Lord, we commend to thee our dear brother. We pray that thou wilt help him this morning as he reads to us. O Lord, and we pray that it is an appointment of thine that he shall read this sermon, that it may be the word of the Lord to our souls, and that we may feast upon those things and worship thee in spirit and in truth. We pray that thou wilt remember each one in their special cases. Especially we plead for thee, for them, that thou wilt remember the cries put up before they have come into thy house, that thou wilt send answers of peace. And we pray for those who have few thoughts about eternity and their never dying soul. Lord, remember each one. Oh, do stir us up. Stir us up, Lord, to seek thee in a time when thou mayest be found, that we may not be left to go on satisfied with a dead round of services, but oh, that we might come up with a hunger and thirst for the things of God, that we might know thee, whom to know is life eternal. And we pray for those who lie without, who have no desire to enter this house of prayer, that thou wilt work in their souls. And we specially pray for those in our families who have turned aside, Lord, that thou wilt bring them back with a strong hand, a mighty outstretched arm, that thou wilt remember the sheep that have wandered far, and that thy power divine may cause them to be brought back, that they may say, it is good that I have been afflicted, for before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now, Lord, do bless them. And we pray for thy servant who could not come this morning, that thou wilt remember him where he is. Help him in his own church. May the word be for them with divine power and unction. Lord, thou hast used him in thy service, but we pray that thou wilt go on. Bless him and make him a blessing to thy people. And we would pray for Zion still, while life and light remain. Lord, do grant us a love to the brethren, that we may be bound together in unity, those who love and fear the Lord, and that we may bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Remember our nation, Lord. Oh, what can we say? We mourn because of the iniquities that abound. And Lord, we mourn that our prayers have so few answers in this regard. But Lord, thou dost say in thy word, thou wilt regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer. So remember our nation, though we have so little hope of seeing a change. Yet, Lord, it is not beyond thee. Thy power is still the same. Thou art able to put a hook in the nose of the wicked and to cause them to return. And, O Lord, we do pray that those in high places may know the power of God unto salvation, if it might please thee, that they may be salt in this nation, and that thy people in all together may be a salt which has not lost its savour. O Lord, we do plead with thee. Work, Lord. May thy mighty arm be put forth. How dark it seems. It seems that the work of the Lord in our nation has almost come to an end. But is not the darkest hour before the morning? So we pray that the Son of Righteousness may yet arise with healing in his wings. Now we pray, Lord, remember thy servant whom we hope to hear this evening. Lord, we are not sure which one, but Lord, whichever one, may it be one that thou hast sent with the word of the Lord for our souls. Do grant them thy help, thy preservation, whichever one, and Lord, do work in our midst and apply the blessing. We come with confession of our unworthiness, of the least of thy mercies. But Lord, do look upon the blood once spilt for sinners and remember thy promise. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Help us to thank thee for all thy providential mercy given to each one, to own that thou hast been very gracious unto us, though we have returned unto thee evil for good. Lord, put a new heart within us, a heart to praise our God, a heart from sin set free, a heart that's sprinkled with the blood. May we be able to say, so freely shed for thee, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hymn 962. Come, dearest Lord, and melt my heart, thy animating power impart, blessed source of life divine. Jesus, thy love alone can give the will to rise, the power to live, for every grace is thine. 962. try and read to you a sermon preached by Mr. Raven. And you will find the text in the Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 13, verses 12 and 13. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 12 and 13. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. Mention is made of the fact that the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. This was a divine ordinance and an ordinance of very deep significance. Those Old Testament ordinances commanded by God were not enjoined upon people for naught, but they were all of them full of spiritual and gospel significance. In the temple, every whit of it uttered his glory, and of everything in the temple, of every ceremony, of every sacrifice, it could be said, the Holy Ghost this signifying. The Holy Ghost this signifying. And so here we read of the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin, being burned without the camp. And we may say, the Holy Ghost this signifying. There is here a pointing, as we plainly see, to the Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. If you were to contemplate these Old Testament ordinances and could exclude all thought of Christ from your consideration of them, how very empty, how meaningless, how useless they would all appear. They would be nothing better than what the poet speaks of, rounds of dead service, forms and ways. But when there is a vision of the Lord Jesus Christ granted to the soul, as it was granted to Saul of Tarsus, then when these things are viewed, how beautiful and how precious is the significance of them. This one-time Pharisee, who once was wrapped up in these forms and ceremonies, well, without any understanding of their significance, now found his soul enraptured by the view of them, when he saw how significant they were of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. So here the apostle saw portrayed, in the burning of the bodies of those beasts without the camp, the sufferings, the ignominious sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ, the promised Messiah. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Wherefore Jesus also. Just for a few moments, let us look at this. Wherefore Jesus also. To consider who he is. For it is very important that it should never be lost sight of that this Jesus, Jesus also, is none other than the incarnate Son of God, and that all that he did and suffered and accomplished bears upon it the stamp of divinity, and therefore possesses all the virtue and authority and value, the immortal validity that Godhead can impart to it. Wherefore Jesus also. What a person. Jesus, thy Godhead, blood and name, oh, 'tis eternal life to know. We have been reading in Philippians 3 how the Apostle Paul himself was stirred up by the Spirit of God to seek so earnestly and with such importunity after the knowledge of this person. Did not the Lord Jesus Christ himself say, This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. If we look at the sacrifice that Jesus offered, when he offered himself once for sin, offered himself without spot to God upon the accursed tree, what a preciousness there is in that offering. Oh, the virtue and glory of it. An offering that needed to be but once offered. He offered one sacrifice for sins forever. Men labour nowadays to explain away the vicarious nature of Christ's sacrifice. They try to explain away the atonement and represent the Lord Jesus Christ as merely an exemplary Christ. The only salvation he came to accomplish was to show people what they could do and what they could be if they would only follow his example. But that is not the gospel that Paul preached. That is not the gospel which brings relief to wounded consciences. No, a wounded conscience, a broken and bruised heart, wants the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ that Paul preached, wants to have it preached unto it and revealed within, the Lord Jesus Christ as dying for our sins according to the Scriptures, and as raised from the dead according to the Scriptures. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, by shedding his own precious blood and pouring out his soul unto death, he purged away the iniquity of his people. He blotted out their transgressions, made an end of them. They were cast into the depths of the sea. And God said he would remember their sins and their iniquities no more. Complete atonement has Christ made, and his blood speaks peace. His blood speaks pardon. His blood is that by which a poor sinner is made nigh unto a holy God. Every barrier is removed. Mountains of guilt are taken out of the way. And God and sinner meet in this person, meet in the person of him who thus offered himself without spot to God. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood. They are a purchased people, his purchased possession. They are peculiar in this respect, that they are the purchase of the Redeemer's blood. They are redeemed, and the redemption must of necessity, as a matter of justice, take effect. As he has redeemed them by his blood, so he must possess them for himself, and thus his redeemed must be separated from the world which lieth in wickedness, separated unto him, and they are separated by the regenerating grace of the Holy Spirit. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, such power, such efficacy, has the precious blood of Christ, that those for whom it was shed, those souls who are sprinkled with it, are made fit by that sprinkled blood to appear before a holy God. It takes out every stain of sin. It is wonderful to experience it. Oh, to realize one's interest in that precious blood. To be clothed with this rich vest and sprinkled with Christ's blood and rendered fit with Christ to feast and be the guest of God. And these redeemed of the Lord have abundant reason to speak of the grace and of the great goodness of the Christ of God, as the apostle did when he said, "The grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus." And see how low the Lord Jesus Christ did stoop to do it. Oh, what depths he descended into, that he might accomplish redemption for his people, that he might put away their sin, bearing their sins in his own body on the tree, the Father laid upon him the iniquity of all his people, and he accepted the heavy load previous to his death. He accepted it and all that belonged to it. He took the load, he took the curse, the condemnation, the wrath, the hell. He took it all. He bore the woe in his own holy soul, and thus he put away sin by the sacrifice of himself, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood. He suffered, and he suffered without the gate. I was thinking just now of that verse in one of our hymns. O thou dear suffering Son of God, how does thy heart to sinners move? Sprinkle on me thy precious blood, help me to taste thy dying love. He suffered, and of his suffering so intense, angels have no perfect sense. I've looked again and again at that word, the things which he suffered, the things which he suffered, and could never see to the depths of them. And he suffered without the gate. He was an outcast. His name was cast out as evil. Did they not cry, "Away with this man, and release unto us Barabbas"? They would rather a robber and murderer be spared than this precious and holy Christ of God. Such was their enmity, their rage against him. And so he suffered without the gate. He was made a curse. They nailed him to the accursed tree, and yet that which they did, in which they sought to load him with all the shame and ignominy they possibly could, in it his glory shines. One says, all glories pale beside the glory of thy blood, my victim dead, my crucified, my brother and my God. Oh, the glory of Christ in this, his humiliation even to the death of the cross. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Oh, he stooped so very low to ransom offenders. He went down into the depths, inconceivable depths of woe, that poor sinners might be raised from the dust, and beggars from the dunghill, that they might be set among the princes of his people, and be made to inherit a throne of glory. He suffered without the gate. And to a believing heart, as the Holy Spirit takes of the person of the Redeemer and of the things that he did and suffered, there is a wondrous attraction. Indeed there is. We read in the Song of Solomon, "Draw me, we will run after thee." And I say there is a wondrous attraction in this person as the Holy Ghost reveals him. The world cannot keep your heart when you get a sight of this person, and nothing will satisfy you but union with and interest in this person, to be receiving out of his fullness grace for grace. If you are given a glimpse of him by the Holy Spirit, how it does attract a poor sinner's heart. He says, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men, that is, all sorts of men, unto me." Do you know the attraction of this person? Oh, has a sight of him stirred up your heart, drawn forth your desires to him? Have you ever felt this? That there nothing in nature nor in art so fair as Jesus' face. And the attraction is such that there will be a willingness to follow him, to be where he is, in reproaches, in the path of persecution and suffering for his sake. And where he is, has he stood exposed to the gainsaying of sinners against himself. There is a willingness wrought in the hearts of his believing people to be where he is and to stand where he stood, to be reproached for his sake, to be hated by the world, to be cast out by the world, to be scorned. Let us go forth therefore unto him, bearing his reproach. Let us go forth. Oh, there is a going forth to which the believing people of God are constrained by the Spirit of God, as he forms Christ in their hearts, the hope of glory. There is a going forth. And you know that means something quite the opposite of a sluggish frame. There is a going forth. There is a gracious panting. There is a gracious and spiritual labour, as the Apostle said. Let us labour, therefore, to enter into that rest. There is a gracious and spiritual labour of going forth unto him. One said, I leave the world and sin behind and sail to heaven with thee and thine. There is a willingness to do it. The soul feels this. Oh, that I could do it, that I could be more separate from the world, that I could be more shut up to the Lord Jesus Christ, that I could be more perfectly and continually follow him. But I have many infirmities, the soul will say. Yet the point is this, let us go forth. In the believing heart, notwithstanding all the opposition, there will be a desire. There will be a prompting of love to his person and his name. There will be a measure of obedience to this. Let us go forth. And you know it means going forth from the world and the things of it. Turning the back upon those things that the world esteems so highly and the flesh loves. Let us go forth. These things have to be left behind by the people of God. They are in their eyes and esteem worthless dross. Oh, what a vain and tinseled toy this world is to a believing heart, to one who is made wise unto salvation by the teaching of the Holy Ghost. He says, what a cheat it is. It promises fair, but what does it yield? Vexation, vanity, disappointment. Let us go forth. There is a going forth from the world and the things of it. There is a going forth from the religious world too. It is inevitable, because where grace reaches a sinner's heart, there is separation. Not only from the profane world, but also from the religious world. The religious world is as abominable in the sight of God as the profane world. Some of the most solemn denunciations in the scriptures are spoken against a graceless religion, against those who draw near to God with their lips, but have removed their hearts far from him. Those who are taken up with forms and ceremonies, but who have no heart to seek the reality. We read of some who took delight in approaching God with many sacrifices. But the Lord has to say, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? There will be separation from the religion of this world, however pretentious it may be. Separation from all religion that lacks the life of God. I believe the Lord will show his people the importance of having a living experience of the power of the truth of the gospel, a faith that stands not in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God, a faith that will be constrained to contend for, a faith that will be constrained to seek a religion of power. They want a religion of the Holy Ghost, a religion that has Christ for its all and in all, and they are constrained to be separate from all other. Let us go forth, therefore, and those who thus go forth will find the word of Christ to be true. Ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. The profane world cannot love the true people of God. Nor can the religious world love the true people of God. And as soon as any poor sinner begins to show some signs of a work of grace begun and carried on in his soul, the words of the hymn writer are applicable. They are always true. The vile world esteem it strange, gaze and admire and hate the change. And you may see it sometimes in a family where one of an ungodly family is called by grace, or perhaps in a family of professors of religion, one is called by grace, separated from a mere religious profession. And there is that enmity which we are told shall always be between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. A man's foes shall be they of his own household. I know of one man who I believe is a godly man and tender in the fear of God, who has to contend with the enmity of a graceless wife and graceless children. When he was baptized quite recently, it was some time before he could muster up sufficient courage to tell his wife about it, although I am told that in answer to prayer, she took it quietly. But I have known of some cases where it has been otherwise taken. Oh, the anguish some men and women have to suffer in their own souls because of the enmity caused through their godliness. You know, it requires nothing less than the help of divine grace for a man to choose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, and to esteem the reproach of Christ greater riches than all the treasures of Egypt. To esteem it. If on my face for thy dear name shame and reproaches be, all hail reproach and welcome shame, if thou remember me. Let us go forth therefore unto him. We see something of this going forth in that chapter that we read just now, how the Apostle Paul himself was going forth after Christ in the exercises and desires of his soul. His great concern was to win Christ and be found in him, to know him. And he coveted a real knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and true intercourse with him, that I may know him. And he wanted also to know the power of his resurrection, to have the experience of Christ's resurrection life, and Christ's resurrection life in his own soul from day to day. And he did have it, so that he could testify what the Christ of God did for him, how that the life of Jesus was made manifest in his mortal flesh. Let us go forth therefore unto him. And there is this, a seeking of communion with him. Oh, I wish we were more impressed with the importance of that as a vital part of true godliness, intercourse with the Lord. These things write we unto you, said John, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And if we have living faith in our hearts, if we are led by the Spirit, there will be a going forth in a way of seeking this. Larger communion let me prove with thee, blessed object of my love. But oh, for this no power of I, my strength is at thy feet to lie. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. Oh, to be kept content to be outcast for his sake, to bear reproaches for his sake. The Lord has so visited his people who have been called to suffer persecution, shame and reproach for his sake, that their happiness has been a thing to envy. Rutherford said he would gladly have the leavings of the byboard of a sufferer's table, because he saw those who suffered for Christ's sake so filled with divine consolation, so sweetly supported under their sufferings, their prison house has been made like a palace to them. There were some who were imprisoned in the times of the Stuarts, and oh, what a heaven they found it to be as the Lord came in with his rich consolations. Do we not read also of those disciples who were beaten before the council, and how they went forth from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name? I have read accounts of the Huguenots, who were many of them condemned to the galleys, simply because they were faithful ministers of Jesus Christ. And very heartrending is the account of their sufferings. Yet they could write letters of rich and sweet consolation to his poor and suffering flock. Where tribulation abounded, consolation did much more abound. And I have read too of some faithful pastors in Germany, suffering under the Nazi power, and of the wonderful comfort they felt in their souls in their imprisonment. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. The Lord will be no man's debtor, and he has engaged himself to be with his people in the flood and in the fire. Whatever distress may betide them, he will not leave them nor forsake them. Oh, it is a good master they serve. It is a sweet Lord that they love and worship. And they find in going forth to him without the camp and bearing his reproach that he bestows upon them the grace they need. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Sometimes the people of God are called to go forth to him without the camp, bearing his reproach, when their souls are conscious of the absence of all comfort. Oh, what grace is needed to enable people to do that, to cleave to him and to go forth to him without the camp, to say as one has expressed it, my God, to a forsaking God. Yet the Lord's people sometimes have to go forth in the night season when all is dark spiritually and providentially with the individual and with the church, and go forth to him without the camp, bearing his reproach. But there is a blessing in it. Oh, it is better to be thus with Christ than to be basking in the smiles of the world, even if he drop no gracious smile for the time being, yet to be yearning after him, to be going forth unto him in the desires of your soul, is in itself a blessed thing. The Lord grant that it may be so with us, that we may be drawn after this dear Christ of God, and may feel what it is so well expressed in the second chapter of the Song of Solomon. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. May the Lord add his blessing. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day were £640, for which we are very thankful. And God willing, Mr. Pickett will preach this evening, if he is able to get here. And if he is not able to get here, Mr. Izzard has kindly consented to come. As you'll realise, the roads are very bad in many parts at the moment. God willing, Mr. Timothy Rosier will preach on Wednesday evening and Mr. Chapman next Lord's Day. And the Fenstanton Christmas morning service will be, God willing, at 9:30. And Mr. Crowther has telephoned me this week. He sent his love to all here at Swavesey, and he wanted to let us know quietly that he has been diagnosed with cancer of the liver and he's rather poorly at the moment. May we be able to bear him up at the throne of grace. Let us close with hymn 709. The Lord that made both heaven and earth and was himself made man, lay in the womb before his birth, contracted to a span. Hymn 709.
Thou wilt show thyself to them, Father, heavens.